Author and attorney Scott Turow burst onto the bestseller list more than two decades ago with courtroom thrillers like Presumed Innocent and Burden of Proof. Since then, his popularity has remained steady as he's become more publicly involved with controversial societal issues like capital punishment. Turow will be in the Valley for two events. On Sunday night, he'll sign copies of his new novel, Identical, at the Poison Pen in Scottsdale. Then on Monday, he'll be at ASU's O'Connor College of Law in an event presented by Changing Hands Bookstore. Identical features Turow's take on the myth of twins Castor and Pollux. I asked Turow where his interest in twins came from.
My sister had been a twin whose twin was died in childbirth. And since my dad was an OBGYN and I was less than 3 years old when this happened, it was all very confusing to me. Why did my dad deliver healthy, happy babies for everybody else, but not this baby? And so it always provoked an acute interest in the subject, and I decided I would be writing about an identical twin. I had this idea of writing a little bit about politics, so a long time interest, and that made me look at some of the classic tales about identical twins. I think, given the way this had overshadowed my childhood, it's understandable why mythology was attractive, and the story of Castor and Pollux, the so-called Gemini, has a really touching conclusion, which I won't share with your listeners, but the key there was that Pollux was immortal and Castor was mortal, and they were identical in every other respect. And that gave me an idea for what I thought would be an entertaining plot twist.
Do you pay attention to media coverage of trials and why certain trials seem to be selected, even if their significance to a lot of us seems pretty minimal? Has it made the practice of law more difficult, do you think?
99.9% of all trials sail below the notice of the media. The last case I tried in Chicago, which about 2 years ago, was only covered after the verdict. Then that's typical. So it doesn't really affect lawyers in most instances, except in celebrated cases. What it does have an enormous effect on is the public perception of the law. And, cases like Casey Anthony or I don't know why they attract attention. Usually it's a mix of sex and violence. That certainly characterizes everything we're talking about now. Sometimes you can make a really good impression of the law. Sometimes you can make a bad impression of the law. You have a case like the Zimmerman case where I actually thought that was a case that was pretty well tried on both sides, generally well presided over by the judge, and people, just saw it the way they saw it, frankly, from the jump. The trial didn't do anything to change the way people saw it. It's obviously a big topic, and the Constitution guarantees public trials, and the question exactly is, what does that mean? Does that mean that you have the right to have a camera in the courtroom? And even though I see the bad effects, to me it probably does mean that.
It's here and now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix, talking with author Scott Turow. His newest book is called Identical. Scott, you're going to be in the Phoenix area for a couple of events. One involves ASU's O'Connor Law School. Now, I read 1L before I read any of your fiction stuff, and I thought it was amazing. How impactful was law school on your life as a successful writer? Were you a good writer? Did you feel like you were a good writer before that? Did law school help in any way? Did it just give you a little bit more experience with things to write about?
I spent a number of years trying to be a novelist before I went to law school. And I always say that going to law school was the great break of my literary career. And I mean that for two reasons. One, I ended up with a book contract to write about my experiences in law school, and that was 1L that you're nice enough to mention. The other thing is that I went to law school because I was passionately curious about the law, and fortunately, I had taken my own measure well. That curiosity about the law has never waned. There's ambiguity and ambivalence in the law, and that makes great fodder for the novelist. The way personality always influences the outcome of what's supposed to be disinterested decision-making. There are all kinds of themes there in the law, and it's been a rich vein for me to I guess my books are written in the blood of the law, and it's worked out really well for me. Law school definitely did not make me a better writer mechanically. Lawyers always talk about that. But I did come to understand, you know, the voice of the legal writer as just being a more restricted version of every writer. And, you know, there are instances where my training as a novelist is pretty helpful, especially, for example, when I'm writing a statement of facts in a brief.
Does writing please you? I heard an interview with Philip Roth not that long ago. He was talking about how writing for him was a compulsion, that if he didn't do it, he would felt sick all day. Is it more for you to get the ideas and the creativity on the page, or do you feel like you really need to write?
Well, as a young person, one of the reasons I went to law school is I was living with that compulsion, even though I didn't think I had that much to say. And, I knew I had to get out of myself. So if I don't write for a significant period of time, I do feel it. I feel a kind of physical hunger to get back to that kind of conversation with myself that writing represents, to the, you know, happiness I feel in the imaginative worlds that I inhabit. And, a lot of writers talk about how, you know, how horrible it is and how much they suffer. And, if you're suffering so much, then don't do it. You know, yes, there are hard times, and, you know, starting a book can often be painful. But overall, I love it. It's an unbelievable privilege, and of which I am sensible every day, that I have been able to make my life as a writer in this country. It's just a tremendous privilege.
What are your thoughts about, well, Amazon, about ebooks, about self-publishing? I know that's a broad question, but the changes that have happened in publishing in the past couple of decades, are they as scary as a lot of people think? Are there more opportunities? Is it a mix of both?
The answer is yes to all questions. I am president of the Authors Guild. I am not against ebooks. As a matter of fact, most of the reading I do is on my iPad. But there are, you know, the digitization of the literary world has had all kinds of consequences and, frankly, has set off a free-for-all. Most of the changes are coming at the expenses of authors, not best-selling authors, who, frankly, do as well, if not better, than they ever have, but lower down the food chain, because publishers want to reduce royalties on ebooks. They're about half of what they were on hardcover books. Some of the market is being eaten away by book piracy and the search engines, Google, Yahoo, Bing, drive searchers to those search engines without any fear of legal consequence because of a loophole in the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And they refuse to self-police, which I think is very, very poor business ethics. So they'll help people steal books. You know, you have academics who believe that all information ought to be free, especially when they have an outside source of income, namely the universities that support them. And then you have Amazon, which, you know, that they are a ruthless competitor and deserves much of its success, but occasionally that success is based on very, you know, rough tactics. And entering the ebook market by pricing ebooks below what they were paying publishers was, in my mind, clearly a device to keep other competitors from entering that market, including bookstores, which is the most logical point of sale for an ebook, but no bookstore, which is hard pressed to start with, is going to be able to sell a book, an ebook, at a loss. So they never thought about going into that. And as well as other, you know, corporate competitors. Amazon's done a lot of great things for authors who can't find traditional publishers by providing a platform to sell their books. Amazon has made a positive contribution, but they're so relentlessly driven to reduce costs that I fear the day that they have the monopoly that they're quickly moving toward, because I think they, like everybody else, will try to reduce authors' incomes.
Attorney and author Scott Turow. His latest book is called Identical, and he'll be in the Valley for two events. On Sunday, he'll be at the Poison Pen in Scottsdale, then on Monday at ASU's O'Connor College of Law.